Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
And after a week off in which Jeff Carlin went on an amazing adventure to the Grand Canyon, and we forgot to tell people that we were taking the week off, and everyone was asking, where are you? We're back. The Chicago Way, John Kass, Jeff Carlin, and sitting in right now, Kristen McQuarrie. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I used the bathroom today, Jeff,
in
the Tribune Tower.
Great.
In the
More
tower
detail,
by the river
please.
Where Castle lives. And you know what? It said man on it. There was like a man silhouette.
Right.
And there's women, female bathrooms. I walked around the newsroom this morning asking people, shouldn't we get rid of these things?
It's so discriminatory.
Isn't it, though?
And they're next to each other, so we could just take the wall down. And just, you know, so that you and I could use the bathroom together.
And while we're chatting.
Sure. I can't think of anything that would just be more delightful than that.
Jeff, what do you think? Should we just get rid of these things? It's such an outmoded.
It's so discriminatory.
What is man, anyway? What is woman? Let's
exactly.
just get rid of this whole gender thing.
And I don't even think it's a gender thing, really. I think it's about the environment. I mean, if we're building fewer toilets, if we're building fewer sinks, I mean, those are commodities.
Save the earth?
Exactly.
To save
plus water sitting in tanks to be flushed.
To save our Great Lakes water from attack.
Exactly.
Because I read a story in the paper, actually a letter to the editor, which is getting a lot of traffic. Not really. Generally, they don't. No, sorry, editorial board.
No, that's
but
fine.
I mean the letters to
letters,
the editors
right.
don't really. And this one's from a fellow named Taft of Ohio, and I don't know if it's a fake name or if it's the real Taft, who warns that there will be attacks on our water supply, that other dry areas will try to grab our water. Well, interesting, huh?
Yeah. Mm. How will they do that?
Divert it.
Oh.
And they'll have the federal government. Basically,
that's why
muscle us into taking the water. That's why we live in Illinois. It's not for the beautiful landscape, is it? Or our politics. It's for we can get water.
We get great fresh water. It is. I do think we sort of take our water for granted around here. If you ever go out to the West or you visit relatives, they can't believe that we actually use water to on our lawns in the summer. That would just be. You know, you'd be dragged off to jail if you did that in other
you
parts of the country.
Can't water your grass?
No.
What about letting the water run?
Oh, yeah.
I like to turn it on and just watch it. Because I'm like, yeah, I live in Illinois. I can watch the water run.
It's the one thing I can do that no one else can
right?
do.
Yes! Kind of a whiff of chlorine, maybe a touch of formaldehyde. Not
fluoride.
Fluoride.
Sure. Sometimes I just turn on the sprinklers, even when the kids aren't around, just so I can watch it.
In November.
Sure.
So wasteful.
It's funny because I was on vacation in Arizona, yeah. and I was visiting a friend of mine. I've known him since we were four, five, six. And
is that the guy with the guns in the trailer and the three pit bulls, like in the desert?
No.
Okay.
But we saw that. But I'm the godfather to his daughter, and he's an engineer who works for a solar company, and he hates it because he's out there. He's from Chicago. He hates it because he sees people with lawns that are just these big, green, lush lawns, and he drives him nuts because we live in the desert. You know, we're in the middle of a place where we have to bring water in from California or the Rockies. And people water their lawns. They actually have grass lawns. Drives them nuts.
Guess what will drive me nuts? When the federal Leviathan tries to divert water from Lake Michigan to the desert people, okay? Because then I'm grabbing my gun and I'm starting a revolution. You can't touch our water, dang you. Get your hands off our water.
Did you just say dang you?
I'm trying to sound like I'm West Virginia getting ready for, you know, the Trump campaign.
I mean, we do ship our water all the way out to the far-flung southwest suburbs and all the way out to the far-flung northwest suburbs. But you're okay with that?
That's okay if
still
it's
in
a
Illinois.
Suburb. It's within okay. the... It's what's that? The meteorologist, what's his name?
Tom Skilling.
It's within Tom Skilling's arm reach when
gotcha.
He starts
okay.
waving his arms like ooh, whoosh, whoosh. Mm-hmm. You know, it's within that area that he can touch with them on the map.
Sure.
Okay. But that mark my words, that'll happen. In the meantime,
that's why we should invade Canada.
No, that's why we need Canada to join with us so that the people of Ottawa can say you cannot touch people of Arizona. This is our water too. Yeah, otherwise we're screwed. Okay, moving right along. One thing we have in Illinois is water. Another thing we have, Kristen, is politicians.
Yes, almost more politicians than water.
What do you make of this move by Illinois Comptroller Munger to delay the pay of legislators until they come up with a budget?
Great. I mean, I don't care. You know, honestly... She's right.
Almost spewed in the water.
She's right in that her office is her job as comptroller is to write the checks. It's the person who cuts all the checks when the bills come in due to the state of Illinois. That's her job day to day. And because our state is so messed up and we never have enough money in the checking account, the job now entails and has prior to Munger, Judy Bartopinka had to do this too when she had the role. You have to juggle. You have to prioritize the people who really, 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 really need the money over the people who really, really, really need the money and on and on and on. And so she gets calls all the time from social service providers, from people who are, you know, barely making it month to month because they're waiting for the state to reimburse them. And then she, you know, lawmakers and statewide elected officials are getting paid at the front of the line. So she basically said, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not suspending your pay. I'm not freezing your pay, which is what Governor Quinn tried to do. But I'm going to put you at the back of the line. So I'm like, great. You know, maybe that will nudge them to get more serious about passing a budget.
Maybe and a balanced budget.
Because
they passed one before. Madigan passed one before. And he got, I think it was $5 billion in the red.
Just four, John.
Four. What grade would you give him for that? Ooh, I don't know. But I'm not into grading politicians. I'm more into mootsa-ing politicians. And Mike Madigan, I'm conflicted about this guy because I know him. I know that he is a conservative person. He's a neighbor from the neighborhoods. He's from part of the Democratic Party that I used to be part of when I was a kid, or at least think about, like normal people.
Sure.
And at the same time, he's like this ruthless, maniacal con who's like in his pursuit of power, basically helped eviscerate the state. So how do I balance these two when I know that he's hardworking, disciplined, probably the most disciplined and astute politician I've ever seen, and at the same time, all this other stuff.
I always say with Madigan, it's not personal. I don't have any personal issues with him because I agree with you. I actually think he's, you know, a good family man,
good
and
dad.
He's dedicated to his kids.
How many dads make their daughter the chief law enforcement officer so she can watch out for him in case he's, you know, on the other side of the line?
I think he's been attentive to his other kids, too. He has a special relationship with his son, Andrew, you know, tries to... They went through the period where they were going out to dinner every night on Sundays, and I used to run into them sometimes.
You go to Palermo's too, huh, on Sundays?
Sometimes Palermo's, but then they sort of switched over to Frankinello.
Yeah.
So
what's on special today?
Exactly, right. What's on special.
Right.
So I always just, when I'm criticizing Madigan, separate the personal from the political. And no, I can't separate the way that the state has been run. And in terms of balanced budgets... Honestly, the quest for a balanced budget is just, you'll never find one. There's too many accounting tricks and too many ways to just, you know, pretend like you're going to raise more revenue than you actually are to make a balanced budget look balanced when they rarely are.
Yeah,
In government.
But you know what? Here's my take on this thing, and I wrote about it this week. In the business of the budget and of politics, here are the actors. You have the unions, right? They're part of the deal because they want the money. You have the social service providers. You have everybody who's involved in taking the money and wanting the money and fighting over it, right? And they're all part of the daily act. And then you have journalists who are in the mix, and who do they deal with mostly? The people who want the money or not raising the taxes or we want more money and we're legitimate and those people aren't and we're moral and they're not. And so you have all journalists and politicians and activists in one group. They talk to each other, right?
Sure.
They call Steve Brown to find out how to think or how to, what's the context of all the whatever, Madigan's guy, and they talk to Rauner's people too, and et cetera, et cetera. And then there's a group that doesn't get involved. They're not involved in this John Cass column writing or Christian McQuarrie columns or editorials, Jeff Carlin setting it up on Anna and Ro, you know, in the afternoon, Rocon, for the interview. These are people that don't get in. They're not part of that. But they're the people who leave the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
They just go. They're called taxpayers. And they're not even part of the debate.
I think some of
them.
Why
are you looking at me like am I weird?
That's just my regular resting bitch face. No,
she's looking at me like I don't
when
know.
I'm concentrating.
Processing.
Yes, I mean that is the part that I'm almost more perplexed that the Democrats just they will not acknowledge that there is this mass exodus of residents. They will come up with their own study showing that, you know, people are not leaving because of Illinois dysfunction. They're not leaving because of taxes. They're leaving because of X, Y, and Z.
They're like feral cat deniers.
It's just not true.
Right.
I get email every week, multiple emails, especially after I write a column or something about Illinois dysfunction.
How many did you get?
From people.
Yeah, like I left Christian,
yes.
I'm leaving.
Yep.
15 months. It's all Facebook today. 15 months, I'm out of here, all these people saying that.
Yes.
Why do you want to leave your state? Why do you let these people run you out of your home?
I think about it all the time because it just feels like a futile effort when you spend a lot of energy and you really put yourself out there and then you get beat up for it.
Oh, yeah.
And
you get beat, Christian, you get beat up by experts because they know exactly where to hit you.
Yeah.
And they have their little pet dogs in the media that go after you and take shots. It's not even like it's not even coming from the main actor. It comes from the side.
Sure, and it's never ending. It just happened again last week where there was an entire blog post about what an evil person I am. So you do get
because you are evil,
right? I know. If you disagree with me politically, then
you're evil.
I'm evil.
Yeah, sure,
we can't just have a civil discussion about our differences. But I think about leaving too in that respect. And when I look at the way that the city is going. I mean, we know how bad the city's finances are. We know our property taxes are, you know, going up into like this black hole, by the way. And then we're still talking about $1.2 billion for a museum for George Lucas and tearing down.
You're talking about Rahm Emanuel not having enough money for cops, dealing with the teachers who want to go on strike. But let's borrow at 8% $1 billion to take care of George Lucas and put a museum up there that no one's going to know about in 30 years. It'll just be a dusty, it'll be like the Belzecas, which is a better museum, the Belzecas Museum of Lithuanian Culture. At least that has something, you know what I mean?
Yes. And if you think it's only going to cost $1.2 billion, I've got a bridge to sell you because there's no way a tear down and reconstruction of that type in this city with prevailing wage laws and all the rest is going to come in at that amount. It just isn't.
They can't raise any. Can't they show? Can't Rahm show his sensitivity to the people of Chicago who don't have cops, to the babies who get shot, to the, on the street? Maybe he could dress up as an Ewok, like in a furry costume, and raise some money to pay for them?
I'd give them the $1 million. If he panhandled in an Ewok costume, I would give him some money.
Absolutely.
But that's the other issue. This is not a Star Wars museum. There is a lot of question about how much Star Wars memorabilia is even going to be there because George Lucas has signed off with Disney and cut a deal. And so the what could actually happen is if the city goes forward with this, you end up with this, you know, museum of narrative art. People go there who are Star Wars maniacs thinking they're going to actually see some really cool stuff. And then word gets out that it's a total ripoff and there's no Star Wars stuff. And then you just have this big, you know, unused museum.
It's crazy.
It makes no sense.
It shows to me that Rahm, you know, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt the other day they come up with the, you know, all cops are racist report. And I understand what it is. It's about cleansing Rom. It's not really about racism. It's about, in the police department, it's about giving Rom a platform from which to jump off into a new life as a different kind of mayor who understands people. Then he does this thing. It's, to me, completely tone deaf. I don't get him. I really don't. And you're looking at me now.
I know. I don't. He's done this before where, you know, right after all the schools closed, he announced a new high school for the north side in a more well-to-do neighborhood that was going to be named after Obama. You know, right after right. you close all these schools in black neighborhoods on the south side.
We should have a rich school for white people.
Yeah, it's just.
It's another again, thing. It's, we could go to. I'm so against magnet schools. I can't tell you. I see the politics there, and we have to get into that again, maybe in another time.
Another day.
In the meantime, are you going to be watching Game of Thrones?
You know, I probably will be. My husband is a big fan, and he's very much looking forward to the premiere. But you are the expert. I jumped ship after the first season because I kept ending every night. We'd watch it late at night, and I was going to bed crying every night. My favorite characters were getting killed off. They were so evil. Children were getting shoved out of towers.
Spoiler. Just kidding. That's the first episode.
Season one. Oh,
season
it is.
One. We're in okay. season six.
I know. I'm just kidding.
So I'll right. leave that to you. What are you doing? What are your big plans for the premiere?
You know what? I never had like a big plan. It's basically... The two things I want to do on Sunday, I never get to do both of them. One is to have dinner at 2 o'clock like a Protestant in the movies. You know what I mean? Right? I always wanted that. I got this ethnic family. Everyone's coming in and out. It's like, oh, I got to work. This. I want at 2 o'clock. I wear a cardigan. I cut some bird. And we eat quietly with the silverware clinking on the table. You know what I mean? And the second thing is Game of Thrones. So since I can't get the... Protestant dinner, and no offense to my Protestant friends, I'm just going to sit down, drink a beer, and watch my show.
You are. You're not inviting other enthusiasts over to watch it with you.
You know, like when the Bears had back when I watched it, all the Bear games that were important, when there's a really important game, I don't want anybody over.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I don't mm-hmm. want to do a, like, what kind of dip do you want, yeah. right, Jeff?
Well, it's like when the Bears were in the Super Bowl, and everyone's yeah. like, oh, you got to come over and see the party. You gotta no, I don't want to go to your party. I don't care about your cousin or your brother yeah. or anything.
I don't care what kind of salt.
Like, yeah, well, you and I are friends.
Blue chips?
Yeah,
really, oh, you got the blue chips? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Shut up,
I got
right?
Yeah, I got some fancy beer. No, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care about your brother. I mean, you and I are friends. Not you, John, but in general, my yeah. friends. Like, yeah, I get it. That's our connection. Don't need to be connected to the rest of your family. I don't need to be, you know, Facebook friends with your cousin.
You guys are no fun. I'm all about the wing dip. The Buffalo chicken wing dip.
Normal Super Bowl? Sure. Teams in it I don't care about? Sure.
Here's something I got to read you. It's from the New Yorker, Clive James, the vicious Clive James, an editor at the paper who edits my column now, Trevor Jensen, handed this to me. He read it, and I think he wants to watch Game of Thrones now, which he's never done before. Here's one part of it. I mean, he writes so like an evil Vanity Fair writer. You know what I mean? Okay. As for the top woman of the realm, the Queen Cersei Lannister, she is a beautiful expression of arbitrary terror, combining shapely grace with limitless evil in just the right measure to scare a man to death while rendering him helpless with desire.
Mm. And is this the blonde lady?
That kind of screwed me up because then where's the Hillary Clinton tie-in? The helpless with desire thing doesn't work, right?
It was working until that
it
moment.
It was, and yeah. then I'm like, you ruined it, Clive. Stupid.
Maybe it's desire from another gender.
Oh,
allegedly.
Oh,
my goodness.
Just saying. It's,
I'm not playing
out
hockey
there.
Here.
That's out there. Oh, boy. That's out there, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm not even going to. Allegedly. You know, I don't even know what that meant. I can't hear him. I don't speak your language, sir.
So what? So this is Sunday night, the
yeah,
premiere?
It'll be Sunday. So many people have already listened to the podcast. And, oh, by the way. We were going to ask Jeff something before we go. What is it, Jeff? You wanted to talk to Jeff about something.
Oh, his
yeah.
Facebook post.
His Facebook
oh,
post.
Right.
Jeff Carlin, C-A-R-L-I-N.
So on your Facebook page, you have a picture of this adorable little boy who looks to be maybe 10 months, 11 months old. And you gave him his first taste of a lemon, and he is in, I think, hysterics.
Yes. Well, this is true. So that's the photo. It's Jeff Carlin on Facebook, or at JP Carlin. on Twitter. That's my brother's son, Willem. And he named after Willem Dafoe. I kid you not.
Not Willem. Wow. Not Willem the Conqueror.
No, unfortunately, no. Just
Willem of Orange.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe. Right. He's probably that'd have been last. He's probably 8, 9. You're right in that range. The happiest baby you've ever seen. I mean, as a little baby, he was great, and that was last year. A couple of years. No, last year. He super happy all the time. So I gave him some lemon juice. Just you know, his first taste of sour. Never had anything sour before. And that was the resulting picture, was just this scowl on his face and his lips turned inside out. He was just, oh, so angry. But it faded quickly, and he wanted more. I mean, he's that kind of kid where he's like, that was awful, but let me try it again. Like, I mean, that's how he's with everything. He will be 2 coming up this summer.
Has he started to eat dirt from the potted plants? How about you, Kristen? You know about this, right?
Oh, sure.
Why do the kids eat dirt?
Or dog food? I don't know.
Right?
They're just everything.
I'm sure dog food.
You see their face with the little, like, it's all, like, black lips, and you're like, what?
What?
The
what?
Heck?
Yeah, what, and then you see little fertilizer bubbles in their mouth. And
you think they're going to die. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, no, he has. I don't think he's gotten into that just yet. But he would be that kid. He loves doing anything.
Did Uncle Jeff also give a chocolate cake to this boy and let him sit there, which is one of my favorite pictures when parents can do, I'll put a big cake on the high chair and just let them put their face right. Moms, hate this.
That's great.
Just give me the mom look I got to clean this up.
I didn't do it for him, but he has an older brother and sister who are twins. And when they were one, we got them cakes and they were just covered head to toe in blue icing and frost. It was amazing.
Watermelon's good for that too.
Oh,
just like a whole half of watermelon.
Sure.
Here you go, kid.
That's
but now weird. I guess we got to take the seeds out first if you're a good parent.
What?
In the old days, you just made them swallow
right.
them?
That's all.
You
swallow them. You have a watermelon tree in your stomach.
Yeah.
I used to believe that until about 2 years ago.
Watermelons don't grow on trees.
I know. But I didn't know that.
And seeds don't grow in your belly.
Well, yeah, that too.
Larger point. Yeah, okay.
But if you're eating the soil.
What do I have then? I have a couple cassavas in there.
What?
Better stop, knock off the bread, I
oh,
swear.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy, oh, boy. That's great.
Well, Kristen, thanks for being in, Kristen.
Thanks for having
you're awesome.
Me.
And watch Game of Thrones, and everything will be good.
I will. Okay? I mean, I'll watch it for the nudity, but also so that we can talk about it later.
Thank you.
Yeah, come for the nudity, stay for the violence.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the throne.
Well, yeah.
And the dragons.
The dragons.
And the leather pants on guys with braids. Yeah.
By with my tail in the air. Stray cat strut, I'm a
thief's cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova. Hey,
better that side.
Get a shoe thrown at me from a mean old man. Get my dinner from a garbage can.
It is my pleasure to welcome to the Chicago Way one of the lead feral cat deniers. I have many of them. Some are asking that I be neutered. Others say that I hate cats, which I don't. I'm just allergic. My main thing is I don't want feral cats released where they slaughter innocent birds. But my guest is a pet lover professionally and emotionally as well. Steve Dale.
That's a good way to describe me, and I take that all as a compliment, actually.
I do. Now, when we first had our first confrontation...
Oh, you remember.
There was a man who was... he had a German Shepherd, and I love Shepherds, even though I raise pointing dogs. And he spent $75,000 on kidney dialysis for a dog.
Mm.
And I went ballistic on this, thinking of kids that need help, and... Mm-hmm. That's just ridiculous. And you took the opposite side, I remember.
Well, I don't remember the specifics.
I do.
But,
I'll never forget.
Well, I personally believe people can do what they want with their money. And if someone wants to spend that kind of money on their dog, it's fine.
I can do what I want with my opinion. And if I want to give them a mutza for spending $75,000 for kidney dialysis for a dog when people, you know, that's okay. Let's move on. The other day I wrote a column or two now.
Not that I'm counting.
Yeah, condemning or criticizing the crazy feral cat ladies and the feral cat deniers who want to release feral cats into our city ostensibly to kill rats. That, to me, is the propaganda. There's no real analysis of that. There's anecdotal talk of it. And it's, to me, a way of, so they can release feral cats. They neuter them, then they release them. I think that's crazy because I love birds, and they slaughter birds. Then Steve Dale writes a rather pithy blog post.
Pithy. I like that.
Right? And he's coming after me, and since...
No, I wouldn't come after you. I came after what you said.
Okay, man. Let's just go to it now.
Okay.
All right, so you're a feral cat denier. How long have you been denying the feral cats slaughter birds thing?
Well, I'm not denying feral cats. First of all, I'm not talking about relocating feral cats to kill rats. It's a program the Treehouse Humane Society has in Chicago called the Cats at Work program. And this idea is taking cats that are already out there. They're there! They are there now. And they're already trapped and neutered and returned to where they were. And what this program is working with some public officials, working with community leaders who say, I've got a rat problem, is relocating these cats that are already out there, relocating them from place A to place B. And what happens is the cats move in and the rats move away.
Well, we know that people say that. We don't have scientific evidence of that.
Well, we do.
We know that that politicians like cat ladies because cat ladies vote, and guys like Steve Dale talk about it on his radio show.
What are these cat ladies you keep talking
about? The ones that want me neutered. You saw it. You saw it in the paper.
But who
I'd neuter you. If you were a cat, I'd have you neutered.
So
people
who love cats or take care of outdoor cats are only women?
And men.
Oh, there you go.
But the ones who wanted me neutered were women.
Okay.
So I have a right to not like that.
That's fine by me.
The point being, let's move on from that.
Yeah,
from
I want to talk about
sexuality to the point of.
I don't want to talk about that, but right. I want to talk about birds. So you wrote in your columns that these cats, and you just expressed a concern about birds. First of all, I love songbirds. I want the songbirds out there too. You said these cats in America kill billions of birds.
Correct.
If they killed more than a couple of billion birds, they would be killing every bird in America because, according to data, we only have and ever have had a few billion birds in this country. So if they killed a few,
that. You know what? You can document it. I can document the fact that the Smithsonian Institute and other reputable scientists have talked about feral cats and the destruction of wildlife, particularly birds. Now, you want to side?
They do kill birds.
So I think that they're an invasive species. They should not be released. Do not re-release them. If the feral cat lovers want to keep them in their homes, be my guest. But do not release them into the wild where they're going to slaughter songbirds. We don't need that.
Okay, so I don't want songbirds slaughtered either. I agree with you about that. And I agree that they do kill some birds. First of all, a lot of points here. First of all, cats are opportunistic, as many predators are. Cats are both predators and prey when they're out there as feral cats. And as predators, they're opportunistic. We know this. There's all sorts of studies that indicate this. So they will eat what they can catch. What they can catch depends on where they live. So in a big city like Chicago, oftentimes they don't catch anything. Their number one source of food, if we're talking about the cats that live in the heart of the city, they are from the trash, and they are handouts from people. Second on that list would be vermin-like rats. In the South, in places, number one on their list, after rodents, a variety of different rodents, are not birds, but in fact lizards. So it really depends on where those cats live as to what they eat. Do they catch some birds? Absolutely.
Right. So you're okay with it, and I'm not.
No, I'm not.
So I've got a plan for
So
you.
How do we lower?
I have a plan. Do you want to hear the plan?
I want to hear
and
what.
I want you to analyze this plan because I think this will work.
We should have a drum roll for this plan.
Here's
because
my plan. And
so many have
it.
Been. Okay, this
I'm
is.
I'm going to announce it in a column.
Okay.
Okay.
An upcoming column.
And I'd like your.
Okay, maybe it'll
response.
Work. I want to hear it.
All right. as far as the feral cats go, absolutely not. Release the feral cats at your peril. Keep them in your, if you want, if you love feral cats so much, keep them in your home. If you don't, they probably should be euthanized.
Can I comment on that?
No, wait, okay. Let me get okay. my plan.
Okay, the plan.
But I have a plan to get, if the thing is to get rid of the rats.
Yeah.
And that's how the politics are, because the politicians know that voters and advertisers and all the people that listen to you, they want to buy cat products and so forth. Nobody buys, who buys bird seed except for a few of us?
Well, I do.
Right, but I'm saying they don't have the built-in lobby. They have the Audubon Society and that's it. So here's my plan. No feral cats to be released. Either you adopt them or they're euthanized. But if the issue is for rats, here's what we do. Chicago is has many rats and too many. And Chicago also has many apartment dogs. Many of the apartment dogs that I've seen, and I've listened to your show and love your show, and you talk about it all the time. And I know this as a trainer of dogs, and you do too. A dog that does not have work is often a destructive dog, sometimes mentally and emotionally.
We have a nation filled with unemployed dogs.
So let's give them a job.
Okay.
And here's my idea.
I'm worried about it, but go ahead.
The idea is I see a lot of Jack Russells, Parson Russells, terriers like this. They've become popular lately, and we see many in being walked. Have a tryout. Each block has a tryout. And we pick five dogs from each block that are the best rat killers. Okay?
Yes.
And they have teams. Each block has a team. Maybe five rat-killing dogs and a substitute bench-warmer dog or two. We even get to help with the people that like to dress their dogs up in costumes, which I never did. We will have T-shirts for the dogs. Maybe we could have people sponsor, like politicians. And then we have rat-fighting dogs go into an alley. We block off the alley. We take out our barbecues. We have cold beer. And
good.
We let the and we hang out at night, right?
Uh-huh.
We hang out at night. Neighbors and neighbors getting together, not shooting each other, but
I like
actually
that.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And we let our rat dogs kill rats. The winner, whoever team gets the most rats, wins the competition. We can even bet. There could be betting and beer and camaraderie and dead rats and a lot of fun. And like kind of like fox hunts, but rats, who cares, you know? I don't think there's a rat like constituency.
No, probably not.
So what do you think? And this would be a way to get people together, get rid of the rats, and also give dogs something to do. And the thing about dogs is, as you know, maybe a few can climb trees, but not many.
Not so much.
So isn't that a great plan, Steve?
I've never heard it before. I will say that. And I like the fact that you're increasing neighborhood camaraderie. We don't have enough of that. Just walking your dog down the street, you get to know people, right?
Yeah.
So that's a really good thing. Any plan that involves cold beer, which you mentioned,
right.
I'm all for. However,
grilling.
There's some slight issues with this plan. First of all, how do you know who's going to win that battle between the little dog and the rat? And even if the rat loses, the veterinarians are going to win here because the dogs are going to be bitten and potentially get very sick.
Well, they have to be vaccinated.
For what?
A dog can kill a rat. Listen, you know, we have different lives, but we both probably started out as boys who love pets. Right?
Sure.
And we both know, since you do research and so do I, that a cat may kill one rat an hour, where a dog can kill, I'd say, literally, a Manchester Terrier in England, I think in the 1800s, killed like 200 rats in an hour.
I believe that probably could be a record. I don't really know. So
but
you're
I
talking
mean, you
about,
know about the rat, the, but the
sure.
great Manchester Terrier
so
rat,
you're talking,
ratters.
You're talking about it's like the Olympics. Would there be medals for this that the dogs would wear around their neck?
I think maybe because some neighborhoods there's parking problems. You could get like a your block
you
gets
get a parking
extra
space.
Parkings.
That's
parkings.
More valuable than any medal in this city.
Parking or CTA passes or something.
CTA passes.
And we build it up to have a championship, North Side versus South Side, with a Super Rat Bowl.
And where would that be held?
I don't know. You
Soldier Field.
Soldier Field will just you know.
And you and I are the referees for this thing?
No, I'm serious. I think it could work. And it would save birds.
Mm-hmm.
It would obviate the political influence of the crazy feral cat ladies who have too much now, and we get the people together. And Steve Dale, I'm asking you, would you consider endorsing my plan right here on the Chicago Way?
I'll let you know before I'm off, but I have a gift for you, if I may.
Yeah. So as long as it's not a cat.
No, I wouldn't bring a live cat into the studio. It's something that I believe you need that might be able to. I'm going to toss it to you.
Don't throw anything at me.
I won't throw it. There you go.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's Dr. Miowski's medical-grade catnip.
I think you need some.
You know
After hearing that plan,
what am I supposed to do?
You need something.
Crush it in my hands like oregano and put the oil behind my ears?
And then you kind of roll over on your back in the studio and we'll videotape that. That's what I'd like to see.
What would I like to give you in return?
I'm afraid.
Like hornet pheromones that maybe you could crush under your feet and then walk around your neighborhood in July. But this is wonderful. Thank you so much for this.
You're very welcome. I do want to comment on a couple of things. So one thing that has been tried over and over and over is to annihilate the cats. Cats always outdoors live in a colony. And they try to capture as many as they can.
Like those crazy ladies that are living in their trailer with 600 cats.
Yeah, and they try to kill. No, I'm talking about animal control. One way to control them, and it's been tried for decades and decades, is what you suggest. I think you're suggesting is try to kill as many as you can. The problem with that is you never get them all. And cats are induced ovulators, which means literally they breed like rabbits. And soon enough, in fact, it's called the vacuum effect. And you actually have more cats than you started out with. That's a fact. Also, you said they're invasive species.
Yes, they are.
Well, perhaps they are. That depends on how you describe invasive, since they literally, a couple came over on the Mayflower. So cats have been here for a very long time. They've been in Europe for as long as anyone knows with people. Right. You know, so we have lived with cats forever and quite literally forever and ever and ever as a species. So, no,
I'm rubbing my eyes while you talk. Okay.
I don't want the cats killing the birds out there either. But what has been the most effective means to lower the population numbers is trap, neuter, return.
Why?
Why does it work?
Why not just trap and euthanize?
Again, you don't catch them all. So when you have colony caretakers that are committed to catching them all, they ear notch them, they release the ones back so they know which ones have been neutered or spayed and which ones haven't. And then those that haven't, they work at trapping and then they get them. Eventually, the whole colony is trapped, neutered, and vaccinated for rabies, which is a public health issue. If you try to catch them all, which you just suggested, you don't. And if that worked, we would not be having this conversation.
Well, I don't know. It seems like I don't understand the logic of that. Because do step by step. If you catch a few, neuter a few, release them. While you catch them, you might as well euthanize them.
But then there's.
I know they would upset people. I don't want to upset people.
Well, it does upset people. Okay, it does upset people. People don't want
Jeff Carlin will be upset. He loves cats.
As do I, as you've noted.
I know.
And Jeff certainly.
And I do too. I
believe
like
you,
cats.
But that system doesn't work. It's been tried.
All right, tell me the other thing.
The other thing is
Do they suck the soul out of a baby's body?
No.
They don't?
No. You know
sure?
where that comes? Yes,
where
I'm
does
sure.
It come from?
There's not so you could check with the Centers for Disease Control.
Yeah.
There isn't one verified instance. Not
of
one.
Soul sucking?
Soul sucking has never happened.
What about
And you
Satan,
know where that you know
Satan
where that,
familiar. They are the familiars of Satan, yes or no?
I think they're unfamiliar. Soul sucking actually comes from presumably sudden infant death syndrome, and no one knew what that was back in the day. There was a cat in the room. And they blamed the cat for the baby dying.
Well,
that's what the assumption
cats.
Is.
I'll tell you about two cats that my grandmother had, Persians, okay?
Beautiful cats.
Beautiful black Persians. They found them in my crib.
In your crib?
Sucking when I was nine months old.
I wish they were able to do it.
Sucking the soul out of my body.
Real? Is that what happened to you?
And I lost half my soul. But my grandmother took a broom, got them off me, sprinkled some holy water, and I got my soul back.
Darn granny.
Okay, now, I need before we leave, Steve.
Yes.
What do you think of my plan?
I've not convinced you at all, have I?
No, but what do you think of
my plan? I'm curious as to why, and then I will tell you about your plan.
You haven't convinced me because And I know people who have cats, who love their cats, who don't want them outside for the to protect them as well.
Oh, sure. I want them indoors, too. By the way, I want cats indoors. Right.
So I don't think they should be outside.
I agree.
I think they're destructive and invasive.
I agree.
I don't think that they kill as many rats as people say. I think that's a propaganda thing from the cat people.
Propaganda?
Oh, yeah. It's a PR. Look, I've only been doing this 30 years, politics,
Okay.
So I know.
You know politics.
I can understand how politics works. Now that we've talked about that, what about my dog plan? Dog team, rat killers. Rat kills Chicago, party, drinking beer, grilling, hanging out, neighbor and neighbor. We put our guns away and we let our terriers kill the rats. Therefore, our human bloodlust satiated and we have some fun camaraderie.
I appreciate that you want to put dogs to work. We do have a canine unemployment problem.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the fact, as I said, the beer is involved. I love that. I'm happy to have a beer with you and watch this anytime.
This would be great.
But I would be horrified, not so great, I would be horrified at what I'm watching.
Why?
I don't think we need that. No. The dogs will get hurt, John.
Dogs?
The dogs will get hurt.
You know what? I have hunting dogs, okay?
They're...
When they go hunting...
Hunting dogs.
And they jump, yes.
Okay.
I actually do shoot things. And
No. I'm not knocking.
I put lemon on the birds. or actually, better yet, tomato and a little...
Basil?
Tomato, pearl onions, and makes a great stew. But the point being, dogs need a job.
Yeah.
That's what dogs are bred
for. Some.
And terriers are bred for rat killing. So let the dogs... Please, Steve, please get your dog people together. Let the dogs have a job. Let them have a job, Steve.
I'm all for putting dogs to work. I'm not sure that that's what I want the employment to be. I want to see this work with you. I will...
We'll get some rat... We'll get some... Terrier groups together, and I think we could do it.
I will tell you, it's really a creative idea. That's for sure. You've been to Rome.
No, but I heard of a psycho politician just the other day wants to import, like they don't have enough importing of like everything else, you know, immigrants and so forth and whatever in Rome.
But do you know
now
why?
Now he wants to bring cats to
and
Rome.
And do you know why?
Because
trap, neuter, return has worked so well there that the number of cats has diminished to such an extent that the rat population has exploded.
That's right. But if
so
they do
TNR
the dogs,
can work.
But you know what else can work?
I know. They bring
Jack
in the dogs.
Russell Terriers, baby.
Yeah, and we have Olympics and watch it on NBC.
Manchester Terrier.
I love Manchester Terriers.
All right.
I do.
We could have our own breeds. Steve Dale, John Cass, Jeff Carlin, thanks for being with us today, man.
Appreciate the top billing there. My pleasure to be with you, John. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. John Cass, Chicago Way, get your dogs ready. We're going to do this thing.